the NBA players now in particular trying to hold the owners more accountable and being able to hold those that are in position of power accountable, you know, we have to do the same thing. Like, these people are sitting at tables and they'll pacify us by throwing money at a cause and then sitting back and not having true change a part of their companies and other institutions. And then they ask you to still vote for them or vote for a millage or vote for different things, right? That benefits them only because they threw money at you or they threw money at your institution, right? But they're still not making changes on a day-in and day-out basis to their companies or to their businesses or to their colleges and universities. There's no way in which we can sufficiently, there's no way we should be okay with allowing a company that is not diverse, that does not have total Black representation, Black and brown representation, to still be able to feel comfortable enough to pacify us with money. We have to have a higher standard than that. Those days are long gone. You know, this is where I'm getting to. If there's a company that say they are for, and I'm just going to speak in generalities, right? If they are for inclusiveness and they value diversity and they champion equity, but yet the representation of your community, your Black and brown community, is not there, you need to hold those in charge accountable. If you look at their board of governors or their board of trustees or the people that are running those companies and they don't look like you, they don't represent your values, but you're willing to accept their money, come on. What are you then? What are we then? I won't say you, I'll say what are we? We're willing to be bought off at a moment's notice. And you may not look at it that way, but there are some that do. And I guarantee those sitting in those boardrooms, they view and they feel the same way. So ask, where is the representation at? Demand it. What are your views on diversity and inclusion? What are your views when it comes to vendors? You work and you collaborate with different people. How many of those are Black-owned businesses or minority-owned businesses? How many women are part of your leadership team? What is your stance on the LGBTQA community plus community? What is your religious, what is your stance on religious values? Do you only play Christian music? Or do you only celebrate Christian holidays? Or do you also celebrate other ideologies and religious views and spiritual views? Like, those are the things that you have to ask when you're going down this road. How many people that work for you will recognize or are seen as veterans? What is your disability services like? Is your workplace or your multiple workplaces, are they accessible? Those are some of the simple things that we can always ask. And we choose not to because we're getting paid off. If you have a conversation or if you feel strongly about your stance, even about racial inadequacy, right, racial inequalities, right? Then ask yourself, who am I doing business with? Who am I willing to always collaborate with? And if you're collaborating with people that don't match your values, then why are you working with them? Why are you willing to take hush money? Those are questions that we have to ask every disenfranchised advocate group. You have to ask those groups that. And you have to hold those companies accountable. Either by not doing business or partnering with them to make sure that they are expanding the areas and the values in which you have the expertise in. So this conversation, you know, goes beyond public and private sector, college and university. This conversation goes back to the day-old conversation that you had with your parents, at least, you know, the conversation my mom had with me. And that's simple. Show me your friends, I'll show you your values. It's that simple. You know what I mean? Like, if you're willing to get in bed with a person just because of their, let me rephrase it because that can come out bad. If you're willing to partner up with someone just because of their ability to give money to your cause without knowing if they really care about your cause, that's an issue. It's a huge issue. But yet in the same, we do it. Now that's politics as usual. That's business as usual. And I get it. But what we also have to understand is that there is a new way of thinking today than it was a year ago, than it was 4 years ago when Kaepernick took a knee. This is a different time today. Different. Man, it's a shame that we're at this point and we're still having a lot of the same discussions with some of the same people. With some of the same people that we talked to during the Trayvon Martin incident. Isn't that crazy? Look, the same people. Why are we still talking to the same people on these networks, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever your political affiliation, you know, whatever show that you want to watch, even in local governments, why are we still talking to the same people about the same things back then today? Why? If they're now today just not saying, hey, now I get it. I get it now. I commend you. Great. Wonderful. You get it now. What took you so long? What took you so long to come to the party? What took you so long to understand that this is not just a Black issue? This is an issue universally about being a good person, about being a good human. But yet in the same, you have people that would be on the opposite side just for the sake of being on the opposite side. You understand that we play politics with racial injustice? How do you play politics with that? How do you play politics, you know, not to go off subject here, but how do you play politics with wearing a mask and not wearing a mask? It's the most asinine thing I've heard of. But yet, we do it. And we do it because we are the land of the free. People will want to use their freedom in any way, shape, form, and fashion that they may see or that they may think can get the upper hand or win an argument. But here's the crux of that conversation. What about when people say my freedoms are being stifled? What about when people say, yeah, you say free, but mine's only spelled with one E, yours has two? It's inequality no matter how the way you slice it. And we have been perpetuating this system for far too long. But yet, you know, with different generations comes a different viewpoint and different energy, you know, and a different demand for change. And this new generation, although they're younger, they have a different energy towards this. And I don't think you're slowing down. But nevertheless, it's our responsibility to make sure that we are educating them as much as possible. Not on just, you know, the do's and the don'ts, but just to give them a historical, give them different historical references and then see them break through it or, you know, begin to evolve into something that we truly believe can be, that can lead to equality. You know, one of the things that, you know, maybe it's just because of my viewpoint. I think my biggest pet peeve for myself is that I'm able to see both sides of an argument. And at times that is a good thing. At other times it's not. But I can see both sides of an argument. But with that being said, you know, others don't allow themselves to see the other side, but yet in the same will fight feverishly for their side of the conversation or the debate or the argument that you may have. And I think, you know, great minds could always differ. But when it comes down to the most germane things about being a good person, I don't understand how you can say or you can exclude folks from just the civil liberties they were promised based on the Constitution. You know, even with that, like even when I hear myself say that, you know, I find myself to get irritated, you know, bringing up the Constitution. Because in and of itself, it leads us down a path in which you can pinpoint easily and say we were lied to. You know, minorities were lied to from day one. And we use and uphold the Constitution for things that benefit us or benefit an individual person, but not for the greater good of everyone. And that leaves a stain on a lot of people's hearts. And you know, no matter how many great leaders that we have had in the past and those great leaders that we're developing currently today, you know, there's still issues that has to be addressed universally. But then it goes back to people saying, you know, you can't change my way of life. You can't erase my history. And it leaves, you know, it kind of, it gnaws at the back of your neck because it's like, you know, that language is so loaded. For me to explain this to you, I don't think you'll even get it, you know, but you have to still respectfully and educationally, you know, try. But then you have to motivate those others to make sure that they're learning, you know, learning the importance of voting, you know, learning to be self-sufficient, learning to learn how to articulate and advocate for yourself and others. You know, make sure that you're knowledgeable on, you know, not just the presidential election, not just politics, but day to day out life. You know, there's decisions that's made on a daily basis that impacts us with different policies and procedures on our job, at our jobs, that can lead to, inequalities, right? But yet we have to be mindful, vigilant. At the end of the day, you know, if it's worth writing down, it's worth learning. If it's worth writing down, it's worth learning.